Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Can everyone hear us?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the there's a gentleman over here who is right now the victim of the false Domestic Violence Act, which was just enacted about a month ago. So there is a Piyush from Texas who would like to go over his story.
Yeah, hi.
Before you start, please, there's a question. Could you take it?
Sure.
Anupam, could you repeat the question, please?
Okay, I'll repeat it for you, Satya. What he's saying is that when a red corner notice is issued, that because these countries have no notion of what dowry is, do they actually even understand what this case is all about? And what
is this is Rajesh from Birmingham. Yes, the attorneys here, the judiciary here in the United States, do you know what Indian marriage or the Hindu marriage system is all about? The dowry system and everything. However, it's not about them understanding or us going through this hassle of legal battles. You know, this is just, this false allegations against it. That is what we want to fight against, rather than, fighting against why is it...
I guess the question is, whether the people who the authorities need support or whoever understand what dowry and stuff is about.
Yeah,
the point is not about whether they understand what dowry is about. Because India is one of the member countries that has to cooperate with Interpol. Go ahead, Deepak.
Yeah, what I want to add here is if USA gets an Interpol red corner notice, it is obligated by law to go and investigate the case and then speak to the people associated with the red corner notice. I have recently heard from a guy from Chicago who got into a Interpol red corner notice situation, and both the local authorities and even the FBI have contacted him. This creates more or less a mental tension, and this interrogation creates a lot of mental and
emotional
intense pressure to the person who is going through the situation, and also it also creates problems in his career because he has to focus on this legal issue which actually is irrelevant in nature, and just because
go ahead.
Actually, the journalist was asking whether is there any case in Houston in which any person has lost his job or suffered due to this red corner notice or this notice by the Interpol. Is there any case?
Yes, there have been cases. Naveen was on the call. He lost his job because of all these problems of 498A, and obviously the company would not give it in writing that they are letting him go because he has a red corner notice against him, because it would have a legal implications on the company. Company cannot officially announce that they are letting a person go because of the red corner notice. So there have been cases in which the NRIs have lost their jobs because of the tension as well as the red corner notices. Yes.
Yeah, and the companies also can't do anything because the productivity of the person who is undergoing through this situation is completely affected, and the companies cannot get anything out of this guy who is working. So the companies cannot do anything but to terminate him for this very reason.
So basically, after a red corner notice and after all these legal cases which are mostly false against the NRI, he becomes a liability to the company rather than an asset. And once that happens, companies being corporate entities, they generally well, it reflects very badly on the NRI, and a lot of NRIs lose jobs. I do know for a fact that certain people actually, after being implicated in false cases, decided to leave their well-settled life in the US and went back to India to fight the cases, and some even won them, but then they did end up losing their careers in this process.
And also, you know, I would like to take this opportunity to talk on behalf of not just NRIs, but a lot of other Indian brothers we have. There have been so many cases in India in which a person falsely accused of 498A and dowry abuse has committed suicide because he could not see the torture his parents were going through. There were recent incidents of person, his name was Rajesh Hasmukh Desai, who committed suicide on 21st of November of this year because he was falsely implicated in 498A and he lost his job. He had a good job in a bank, I think one of the banks. So yes, there is a lot of social stigma a person goes through just because of these criminal cases, and yes, there have been cases in which NRIs have lost jobs because of the red corner notices. And one must keep in mind that 98% of these cases are false. So a person is losing his job on the false cases.
Well, it's not a job, it's the family as well as their whole career itself.
Right.
Sure. Doctor, we've already highlighted that to the media. Is there something else that you would like to
yes.
address?
I think Shashi had a point about child, you know, abductions, and, you know, I mean, I guess women not allowing the father access to the child based upon these false cases.
That's right.
You know, there have been instances where, you know, I mean, the wives have asked children of the marriage from, you know, the US, the UK, Canada, etc., run to India right. and then file false dowry cases just to stop the father from accessing the child or the children. And this is just pure harassment, and then the child is used as a weapon for extortion purposes. So, in addition to the dowry case, obviously.
And
this obviously has to be stopped because India does not recognize parental child abduction as a crime. Because it's not a signatory to the Hague Convention. And, you know, these cases, apparently there are many, many cases that the U.S. government is currently dealing with. And in some of these cases, the children are U.S. citizens. They're not even Indian citizens, and the wife might be a U.S. citizen too. She just runs to India, files a false dowry case, and then doesn't let the father access, you know, to the child. Because, you know, she has this false dowry case that drags out for years and years.
Sure.
Yeah, and as for my request for, this is Deepak from California. As far as the request for any changes to the 498A from not only NRIs, but also from Indians who are going through this law, I think visitation rights and equal legal custody rights for both parents should be one of the points which we think that it is very necessary to be added into 498A.
So now there was another person who mentioned about the POTA and MOCA. Anyone like to elaborate that?
I would like to say one thing. This IPC 498A really stands in between my career and my son's upbringing. I separated after 4 years of marriage, and it was caused with my health and depression. If this 498A would not have been there, I would simply go to India and fight for my son custody or visitation rights at family courts, because my son needs my moral support. If I go now, because of this 498A and the Domestic Violence Act, which is only for the women in India, either I will have to sacrifice my 6 to 8 years of my career and future around just roaming around Indian criminal courts, or just to go for a police judicial nexus compromise family to continue with my wife, which would end me up having either diabetes or blood pressure or depression or suicide.
Yeah, I got your point, Santa. Thank you. I would like to mention to the media to go and to actually ask them, ask the government of India, is what was the reason why Indian government took back POTA? that was Prevention of Terrorist Act. It is a case that was exactly like 498A, a little milder, because you could catch only the person who is accused, not his own family. The Indian government took back POTA, which was against a terrorist, but they are still allowing 498A, and through 498A they are getting all the extended family of the person accused. So now I would actually like to ask the generalist, what is that we can expect, what sort of support NRIs can expect from them now, in also in future, and also through the Pravasi Bharati Divas, what sort of questions they would like to ask government, and what is the answers they would like to have from NRIs?
In terms of what kind of support can the NRIs expect from the journalists in the Pravasi Bharatiya Divas, would you be willing to voice their concerns?
Hold on one second. You should show them the fair, actually, the finger end of it. Don't be like, what you are listening, this is not something which has been built overnight. We are on the phone. I've been working with these people. This is here right now, 1:30 my time. And I'm seeing each of them being genuine. And now media can definitely play a very big role in exposing why POTA was taken off, because all of them were the relatives of politicians. So that's why. This is my answer.
The other thing I said, and I think the call got terminated, is that a lot of the articles that are written in your papers about the cases, the journalists are basically passing judgments about cases which have not yet gone to trial. Which is the reason why a lot of people think that, things are very horrible and NRIs are criminals and they're fraud and all kinds of things. But the fact is, a lot of cases are still in trial, cases that are recorded are in the police stations are used as statistics by women's organizations, and none of the acquittals are ever highlighted by the media. So it's one of the very important things, responsibilities of media to highlight. What Umar is trying to say is that while media is very eager to jump onto cases where allegations are made against the husband and his family, and that's always a very prominent feature in these papers, none of the acquittals, and I've just told you that there are a number of acquittals in these cases, the conviction rate is only 2%, none of the acquittals are ever highlighted in media. So that was something that we would like. We think that media is our only hope now. When we've gone to the government, we've gone to the judiciary, and we find that there's nobody really who's hearing our calls. The reason we're going to the media is that we think that the media can help us in raising the voice against something that is not fair, it's not equitable. We are not asking for any special provisions to be made for the husband's family. Only asking that whatever is done, the trial should be fair, the implementation should be fair, and the law itself should be fair.
So one more thing I would like to add here, Anupma, this is Andy from California, is that any person or any guy who actually harasses his wife for dowry should be punished, and we totally support that. What we are against is the misuse of the dowry laws, and if it was suitably amended to prevent misuse by simply saying that once the case is proven to be false, the woman also faces the same kind of punishment that a man faces, I'm sure a lot of false cases will just vanish. So this is the kind of mindset we need to engage the government in.
Parents too, because in most cases there's a father and a brother who are totally corrupt, who are pushing the wife, the woman along, to actually file false cases against the husband. People forget, the media forget, that behind every woman who's filing a false case, there is a brother and a father.
In my case,
I was approached by people who asked me, provide my daughter with immigration and compensation, and we will not file the 498A case. It was used as a torture and a threatening mechanism.
Yeah.
Okay. You and every other person who is facing SPC-498, almost everyone has been facing similar kind of threats, that you give a certain amount of money and a share in the property and the case will be withdrawn. So
yeah, I would like to...
We are saying again and again that it's all about extortion. And also, you know, Satya and others mentioned that also there's this important element that once you put a case of cruelty against someone, then the courts are that much more loath to give you visitation back as well as custody of the child. As it is, the laws are extremely imbalanced. You know, they're completely tilted towards the mother. And this is all over the world. The child custody will more, 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10 to be precise, would go to the mother. But when you say that the father is cruel, he beats me up, he beats up the child, then there's all the more reason that even your visitation rights will be withheld. And that's still one of the reasons why women would put cases like this.
Also, yeah, I would like to bring the attention of media towards the judgment passed by Justice J.D. Kapoor in 2003, in which he mentioned that 498A is actually used at the, as an extortion tool, and he said that the loopholes should be plugged. The moment he announced this judgment, the women groups did a lot of hangama and dharna in front of his court and chamber and actually broke the furniture. So what we see is a lot of judiciary and media is actually afraid of the women organization because there is a systematic, the whole system is there. If there is someone to speak against the abuse or whatever against the woman, but when there is a abuse of a man, there is no organization, there is no NGO or a government organization which is actually to look after the rights of the men. Now I would like to focus attention towards can you let me finish? Okay guys, I would like to mention
when she was asked by the current author that what is her view on the misuse of 490 days, and then she said that she would feel pity that these men would they will suffer by the misuse of this law. So that kind of statement has come from the minister, Renuka Chaudhary, and what she would expect more out of it.
So basically,
that is what the minister.
Yeah.
And from this point, I would like to add. I would like the journalist to take note that all these Renuka Chaudhary's and Girija Vyas's are beating their chest about protecting women, but the reality is, if not protecting women or anything like that, for every woman aspiring for there are many women in the husband's family that are being unnecessarily arrested and harassed by the police and the judicial system. So they are fooling the public, and it is the responsibility of the media to tell the public.
Okay, Uma, I'm sorry, we'll have to cut you short because our time is up. But I'm going to check the data of everything that you're doing, the number of females.
Okay. I would like to add.
What was the truth in the story of Renuka Chaudhary, filing against the daughter's father-in-law?
Yes, I was going to mention it to Anupma. Yeah, actually, I would like to highlight over here about Renuka Chaudhary, who is the Minister for Women and Child Development. She has filed a false 498A against her own daughter's father-in-law, who was an NRI and who was arrested at the airport when he came to visit India. Now talk about... And it is in the newspapers also.
We'll be talking to the press about this, and we have to cut this short now.
Sure, okay.
So, thank you.
Alright, thank you everybody.
Thank you everyone for listening to us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys.
Thank you, Satya. Thanks, Avinash.